This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because the only thing I care about more than football is spicy pepperoni pizza for kickoff. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. Now that's a spicy offer.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/Uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimum supply.
Monday. Strap yourself in
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right there. Good evening, Chunkies. Welcome along to the show. How are we doing? Yeah, we're going to have to talk about it, aren't we? 2-2. But it's back. Football. Premier League is back.
The Premier League is back, and we've got it all covered here on Leicester Till I Die TV. Subscribe.
So, an interesting first weekend. Obviously, if you're a Championship or fan of a sport of a club in the Championship, of course, you've been at it for a couple of weeks now. But it's back. Managed to avoid match of the day. Wasn't particularly in the mood to watch that. So I don't know how that went for us. We were probably on last again. Who knows? But it is. It's the weekly review show every Monday, 7 o'clock going forward. And I'm joined, you know her. She's been with me all summer covering the, well, it came home, the football. It's Louise. And we'll say good evening, Louise. How the devil are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not, well, not so bad. I'm... This hot weather's not doing me well, but, you know, we've got to moan about something. I mean, if, you know, if we did not talk or moan about the weather, I don't think we'd ever speak to each other, us Brits.
Very true.
Very true. Hey, it's back, though, isn't it, football? It's like it's never been away.
Yeah, and that's very much how it feels. Obviously, we did have a lot of football in the summer, but it was different. Everybody's talking about it. Everyone's kind of... worrying about it, stressing about it. Don't know how bad it's going to be. So we'll just have to see actually how it goes.
We've only got 37 weeks of it left. But before we get into the games, just a few, and we do this every week, we'll just pick up a few of the more out there sort of news stories, if you like, rather than sort of the normal ones. Manchester United. Yeah, some things don't change. Manchester United losing. And looking at some of the headlines, it seems like from Glazers to Ten Hag, a new signings, the same old Man United, not up to the task, etc., etc. But the one headline that really struck out to me was Man United fans fighting amongst themselves in the stands watching the game. I mean, it's getting a bit silly when it's getting like that.
I kind of can't understand, because I understand that not all fans agree with each other. I can completely get that. I can understand that even, you know, fans of the same club don't always agree with each other. Like, that's why we love football, the discussion.
Yeah.
But to physically be fighting each other, that's taking it a step too far. You know, people need to remember that this is just a game. Yes, we love it. Yes, it's, you know, it's important to us, but it's just a game. Like, I really feel like Man United fans, they're kind of split into half. There's the half that still think they're the United of the, you know, of the 90s and the early 2000s, which they've not been for a little while now. And then there's the ones that are kind of just saying, well, you know what, this is what it's going to be like now. And it's hard when you've only ever seen your team win and win trophies and win major trophies to then go and see them not even competing for those trophies. You know, it's not like they're finishing, you know, second or third behind Liverpool and Man City. They're not even doing that. You know, and if they have a bad season, then we won't even get European football. But yeah, I understand the frustrations, especially at the Glazers. But something has to be said to the Glazers. I think it's top to bottom. That's why when new managers are coming in, it's not changing anything. So it's top to bottom. It's not managers. It's not the players. It's not the Glazers. It's all of that, you know, and you know, it's not an attractive proposition as a player. Why would you choose to go there?
That's the other thing, isn't it? I mean, is it De Jong that they're after? But he's actually just he doesn't want to come.
Yeah, and if he did, it would be done by now. You know, he'd be there. He probably would have played at the weekend.
I think
it's not an attractive proposition, is it? It's the infighting, the lack of investment, all of that. You know, the only saving grace they have is Ronaldo, and he's as much of a problem as he is, you know, a cure for the problem. Like, he's both, isn't he? Yes, he's obviously a world-class player, but he didn't do anything really last season. I mean, where they finished, I think, was in spite of Ronaldo in many ways. But yeah, I just think it needs to be a complete overhaul there. And, you know, they need to happen to them what happened to Chelsea and take it out of the Glazers' hands, because they're never going to sell. The only way the Man United are getting rid of the Glazers is if it's forced upon them like it was Abramovich.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. James is in. Hi, evening, Chris, and evening, Louise. Big up. Big up to you as well, James. Obviously, a big Everton fan. I was just going to say there, you know, the Glazers at Man United, while Ferguson was there and still winning things, although the fans were obviously annoyed, they were right from the start. But it was kind of, well, we're still winning things here, you know. Yeah. But as soon as Fergie left, that was kind of it. That was when it's really, and, you know, like you say, there's so many fans have not known Manchester United before Sir Alex, and as I always say, you know, total credit to Sir Alex. What he did at that club was totally amazing. But before that, they were just another Arsenal, if you like, you know. And I was speaking to Rich, who does a Man United channel on here, and you know, he's doing a show, or, you know, a phone in, and I said to him, I said, good luck with that. I said, you know, it's only been one game. Let's kind of take this into, you know, perspective a little bit.
Yeah, but I think the thing for United is they want things to change, obviously. They want to start winning again. They want to be competing for these tournaments. They're not going to do that with the squad they have. It's as simple as that. They're not doing that with the squad they have. So a manager, well, this might be the manager that can get the squad playing. Well, we can only judge on one game, and it's a very small size, you know, of games to choose from, isn't it? It's one game.
Yes.
Yeah. The season isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they could, in theory, you know, not lose another game till the end of the season. Yeah. I don't see that happening, but it, you know, it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything's on the table before you play the game. So I think there needs to be realism. I think there needs to be a bit of perspective. And that, you know, it's still the same squad. It's practically the same squad
that
was there last season. And, you know, it's not a miracle worker.
And that definitely falls into the category of one of these moments.
I don't believe it.
Indeed. Fans fight. We've seen players fighting each other on the pitch, but fans, come on. Talking about they could go the whole season without and fans disagreeing with each other. Arsenal, I mean, now, you know, I mean, I'm going on an Arsenal fan chat on the on Friday, because obviously we've got them at the weekend, and I refuse to go on it if these two particular people were on it, because they always end up arguing about Arteta. And I said, I'm not prepared, because last time I went on and that happened, as the guest talking about Leicester, I sat reading a book. Because I couldn't, they were just arguing about Arteta. And I said, if that happens again, I'm off. But now apparently Arsenal fans believe Michael Arteta is guiding New Look side to another invincible campaign after tense win over Palace. I mean, I said at the start, you know, it's either too hot or too cold for us weather-wise, but they're up and down like they're on a trampoline, these Arsenal fans, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. And again, it's not all the fans, is it? We, you know, don't want to make too broad a stroke, because there is realistic Arsenal fans out there who have real expectations. You know, we all have hopes at the beginning of the season, but it has to have some, like I say, some sort of realism attached to it.
Yes.
Arsenal will lose season, 1,000%. They'll lose at least one game this season. Because I think they've still got a pretty young side who are still learning their trade, you know, and for them to be able to do as well as they have done is, you know, it's great. And I like Arteta. I think he's doing the right things there. He's got rid of all the trash. He's got rid of the troublemakers. He's got rid of the players who don't want to be there. And he's trying to bring through young talent. And I will never kind of slack off a manager that's trying to do that.
No. I totally agree with you. You know, I mean, when you speak to this was a different Arsenal fan, and I was on his channel during the close season. And when they say, like, you know, and I'm saying, well, what's wrong? Well, I want to see progress. Well, you did better than last season. That's progress. Well, I want European football. Well, you've got European football. Well, I want to finish. I want to win the Premier League. When is that going to happen? I said, well, Liverpool had to wait 30 years and they were more successful than you ever were, you know. And you're thinking, like, God, give me strength.
And Liverpool always bet their managers. Liverpool fans always bet their managers. Whoever they are, however well they're doing. I mean, obviously, they've got a great manager now, but even in the years when they weren't winning things, they bet their managers. The fans got behind the managers and what they were trying to do.
James says Arsenal did play amazing but they did enough to win the game. David, good evening, David. How are you? Arteta rebuilding, but no support for Arteta. And over and over and over an Arsenal podcast. He says we will lose loads this season, but just not on Saturday. Oh, that is going to come back and bite you on the bum, young man, if you do. Unfortunately, I probably have to agree with you, but that's not the point. That's not the point. James said it's a big season for Mikel Arteta. Still a bit unsure if he's the man for Arsenal going forward. He is, I think, but he's just got to be given time. I mean, you know, I can't, you know, he's getting the backing from the Cronkiers. And I know Arsenal fans, again, don't like their owners, but they're not, they are backing him.
You know, they are giving him the money, and they're not going out, and no disrespect, I know James is in the chat, an Everton fan, and no disrespect to him, but, you know, they're not just throwing money at it and buying a name because it's a name, as Everton have done for the last few seasons. They are taking it. You know, when you talk to an Arsenal fan, oh, we've not made any, you know, any good signings. I'm like, seriously? Yeah, but not the ones I want. Well, you can't win, can you? You cannot win with us. Sorry, say that again.
At least they've made signings. It's more than we've done.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Although if Dennis Pratt stays, that's like having a new signing. But he will come on to that in a bit. But again, Arsenal fans believing they can go the whole season without another Invincibles campaign.
Well, I don't believe it.
It Me is either. One of those.
I don't think any team is ever going to do that again.
I don't.
Just too hard now. There's too much competition. There's too many teams that, you know, if you're just off it by that little bit, are going to turn you over. I don't think anyone's going to do that, and I think it's Arsenal.
I take no pleasure in this next one. That's a lie. I take loads of pleasure in the next one. Nottingham Forest. Where do I start with Nottingham Forest this weekend? I mean, their fans have gone quiet, that's for sure. The second coming, you know, has yet to happen. But well done, Newcastle. We love you. Take your pick of three. I mean, first of all, there's pictures of a couple of the players, including Jesse Lingard, trying to understand the manager's notes that he sent on the pitch. Don't seem to be able to do it, be able to read it. They've got no sponsor on the shirts, going into the Premier League season, there's got to be somebody. And, you know, all fairness to Nottingham Forest, they have had a good history. I can't believe they are starting that season with no shirt sponsor.
No, I'm incredibly surprised by that for lots of different reasons, because they had one last season.
Yeah.
So where did that go? What happened with whoever sponsored them last time? Why did they not follow them to the Premier League? You know, if you get a backup club in the Championship, why not take that on in the Premier League? And even if they didn't, you've had a month. You know, you've got to have known you didn't have one sorted out for this season. It's big money lost, big, big money lost. And I know their owner's got a lot of money, but you can only spend what you make. So that's a huge, huge disappointment for them and a big loss. Like, I would question the manager. I would question whoever made that decision not to have the sponsor, because the amount of money that it's lost them is crazy.
And I'm just reading here, Nottingham Forest are back in the Premier League first time in 23 years. What took you so long, Notts Forest? Let's have a look what they say. Nottingham Forest have no shirt sponsors. No deal has been agreed with any potential partner. Steve Cooper's men saw the deal with Boxed expire at the end of last season. The club reportedly turned down an offer from the boiler company to extend their partnership into the Premier League, their first Premier League campaign of the millennium. They obviously were asking maybe too much money, you know. According to reports from the East Midlands, numerous clubs have been close to being agreed, but none have got over the line yet. So he wants a $10 million a season deal, the Forest owner.
Okay. Depending on what business you are, if you can afford that, that's not so bad. If you think about the amount of people that watch the Premier League, you take that part, like $10 million, and split it up, you know, by that amount of people, it's nothing, absolutely nothing. But, you know, can this company that was sponsoring them before afford that? You know, that's obviously extra to what they wanted in the Championship. So, obviously, they can't.
Well, Boxed are the company that they do ITV Weather on Good Morning Britain. They sponsor that. So they're not
because
that's
a bubble too.
But obviously there's something that's happened there. I mean, over and over, refreshing to see no shirt sponsor. I would say yes if it was a club decision to say, look, you know, we're back in the Premier League. as a special one-off season, we're not going to have a sponsor. Like Brentford saying, we're not going to bring out another shirt this season. We're going to use the same shirts. But good, you know, good power to them. But yeah, it is a bit embarrassing.
It sounds like to me that they've gone, we want a better sponsor, a sponsor that can give us more money. And that's what's backfired on them. And then they've not been able to get one. And, you know, careful what you wish for.
It is, you think, especially if it's a live game on the telly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only advertising that you'll ever get on the BBC because they can't hide it on the shirts or around the hoardings or what have you. But, you know, we will see. Only a club like Nottingham Forest could mess it up. One thing I've got to say, whilst we're talking Nottingham Forest, and that was definitely, again, one of these moments for Nottingham Forest.
I don't believe it.
But I've got to say, there was an even... I don't know if you saw the highlight, it showed it on the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Corner, the corner they took.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? I mean, it was different.
Because again, at this point, like, I can't remember, were they already 1-0 down at this point?
I'm not 100%.
I can't remember, but regardless, you're playing, you know, against the Newcastle side who totally, you know, this is the season that they think is going to be their season.
Yes.
Your first game back, like, you just don't do it. You just don't do that. Like, no. Yeah, I didn't get it.
It was comical, wasn't it, really? You know, I mean, the corner's being taken. I mean, they probably confused the Newcastle fans, but I think the goalkeeper had collected it before there was a Nottingham Forest player anywhere near it. But let's hear what Ian Wright had to say about it. Oh dear, Nottingham Forest! It's so much fun to take the pee out of you. And our last one in the I don't believe it headlines. You know what I used to like about Liverpool back in the day, and when Bill Shankly was manager and Bob Paisley, is that if your team beat them, they would come out and say, great. It was, you know, they deserved it. They were the better team, you know. I can remember when we beat them. It was the year we came up with Jock Wallace, and we did the double over them. I think we were the first team in however many years to do the double over them, the first team to win at Anfield. We got relegated, but we ran. In fact, I think on one of the game at Filbert Street, I think we won 2-1 and we scored all three goals. And they came out and they were, you know, generous to us. And they said, you know, well done, Leicester. You know, they deserve that. And now you've got Klopp. The pitch was too dry. I mean, come on. I mean, is that a genuine excuse for losing a match?
I mean, the way Liverpool want to play, obviously, is a high press and quick passing. So the dry pitch probably wouldn't help that, but at the same time, it's the same pitch in the second half. You know what it's going to be like. Change your tactics, play differently, do whatever you need to do to win the game, and you should be winning the game. Then, you know, they should have won that game on paper. So this first few games of the season are always iffy, aren't they? They throw up weird results, and that just happens to be one of them. You know, I think Liverpool will be fine, but when he comes out and said things like that, it does make him sound like, A, he's making excuses for his own team, and it just makes him sound incredibly ungracious.
Yes. I've just scrolled down because, Chris, good evening to you. Welcome along. How are you? I haven't seen the tweet. If anybody can tell me what the tweet said, I was just going down the story to see if it was on there. David said, did you see the tweet? But I've just seen Man United's away kit. Oh, my God. It's puce. It's puce. I think, you know. It's puce. That's all I can say about it. It's awful. I'm actually doing a show coming up with Doug, who did some of the women's football with us, and we're going to be rating on the show the away kits. Obviously, we haven't brought ours out yet. I'm have a feeling it might be out just before the Arsenal game, possibly.
I mean, it should have been out really at the beginning of the season, especially with us having, the home game, because people would have gone and bought it. But yeah, we'll see what it's like.
I think we might see the minute against Arsenal, to be honest with you.
We know what it's going to be like, though, don't we? We do know what it looks like.
I'm guessing it's the green and black one, but I didn't used to believe all these leaked kits, but now I think it's the club doing it on purpose. They leak the kit, see what sort of response it gets. If it gets a favourable response, yeah, we'll go with that one. But, I mean, moaning about the weather, Klopp, I mean...
I mean, it's not wrong. The pitch would have been dry.
Well, it was not rain.
What he says is correct. I mean, that's something. At least he's not trying, he's not making it up. But you're playing on the same pitch.
Yes.
You're not playing on a different pitch to the opposition. And like I said, things like this happen early on in the season. But his thing is, it's drop points already. We've dropped points already. And obviously that's not what he wants. But yeah, I think he's just thrown his dummy out of the bomb, as you should.
I don't believe it. So that's 4 I Don't Believe It awards we've given out tonight. I'm going to give another one out because I've just seen Man United's The Way Strip.
Well, I don't believe it.
So that's an extra one for Man United there. Has anybody seen, has anyone in the chat and they've seen it? Oh, just sent, Chris said he's just sent you a picture of the tweet if she gets the tweet. Or you can just read it out to me. That might be easier. Let's have a look if we can.
I'm entirely sure. Are we? Show it. Let me just put my iPad and I'll look on that, and then I can read you the tweet. Just get my iPad open. Come on, iPad. iPad, sorry.
No, I'm sure it will come up. Just while you're looking for that, we'll get ready because obviously the next section is we're going to be going through the Premier League results. And we'll be doing that straight after this.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
I'm just seeing what we're bringing up here. Please do, if you haven't yet subscribed, please do. Paddy Power, the pitch was dry. Stuff like this, really difficult. Fulham admin, the Craven Cottage turf looking absolutely lush yesterday with the sprinklers on it. Is that the one?
Yeah, yes. Well, it was from Paddy Power, so I'm assuming that's the one, yes.
Yeah, and there's a picture of sprinklers all over it. I mean, come on. Come on, Jürgen. You're bigger than that. You are bigger than that.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? You'd think so.
Yeah. Chris also says he's seen the Man United third strip. It's like Chelsea's third strip years ago. I just think it's horrible. That one is already up there for coming 20th. I'll tell you. Right, let's just have a look. And I haven't even seen two or three of them yet, and it's coming bottom. So let's have a look at the weekend's games. I don't know how many you got to see, if you got to see Man United match of the day at all.
I didn't, but I have seen the goal since.
Right,
I went to see a show Saturday. So
right, Okay, so let's have a look what we've got here. Starting off on the Friday night, and are we actually, are they the right matches? I don't think they are the right matches, are they? Let me bring this up.
No, they're
the last matches from the last season. Oh, it's great when technology lets you down, isn't it? All right, let's have a look here. Here we go. That's better. It'll be all right on the night, folks. It'll be all right on the night. Don't worry. It's not live. We'll just edit that bit out. But it started off Arsenal again on the Friday night, putting Crystal Palace to bed. I know the Arsenal fans are getting a bit carried away, but I think Arsenal could have a good season this season.
Like I say, I don't think they're going to, by any chance, go through the whole season without losing. But no. I do think a good season, and I think they've got a great chance of finishing fourth. Chelsea are on a bit of a sticky wicket, and United don't look like they're going to be anywhere. West Ham, I don't think have got it quite a strong enough squad to take them right through to fourth. So I think Arsenal have got a great chance of getting in that top four this year. And I think it's doable. From what I heard, they played really well. From what I've seen, they played really well, But again, it's that soft underbelly that they have where they're not, they're not really going for the jugular, so to speak.
Yeah, indeed. And Palace... I know you can't read too much into one game. I've said this before, but will they be overly disappointed when it was at home? Should they maybe have got something from the game, do you think?
I think from their point of view, they had chances, they just didn't take them. And that's, what we've been saying about Palace for a long time. Their attacking threat isn't up to that much if you take Wilfred Zaha out of it, who is... quite widely reported as wanting to leave. And if someone came in for him, we would do. So they need to make sure that doesn't happen. I think there'll be I don't see him going down or anything. I think there'll be maybe ninth, somewhere like that, where the season comes.
But a
loss against Arsenal isn't going to finish them, It isn't going to be the reason that, they finish where they do.
After that, we've got the aforementioned Fulham Liverpool game. I mean, if I say that here we have only got, let's have a look, because it was myself, Brad, Steve Linitz wasn't able to make it, so Doug stood in for him. And out of all the 10 games, we only got one result dead on. Out of all of those, and we got about half of them in the correct prediction. We all went for the Liverpool win here. It was a case of by how many. Brad went 5-0. Fulham are one of everybody's teams to be struggling, if not going down. Well done to Fulham.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It just does my head in because everyone's going to say, Liverpool weren't playing the best. They didn't do this. They didn't do that.
The pitch was too dry.
I would expect the second string of Liverpool. Yeah, pitch was too dry. I would expect that second string of Liverpool to still beat Fulham.
Yes.
They're newly promoted side. And yes, they've got that bump, haven't they? Because they've come back up and it's the first, it's the first game at home against Liverpool. It's a big deal. But I still would have expected Liverpool to win. But again, the Premier League race isn't over because they've drop points. It's way too early for to be saying things like that. So I don't think it's a major worry, but they probably need to win the next one just to get that first win and start correcting the shit.
I can remember years and years ago, and I'll probably be saying this for a few weeks, but we never used to see a table for the first 10 games.
I won't be looking at it. We're still in the transfer window. So even the teams that we're watching now aren't going to be the ones that, or might not be the ones we finish up watching at the end of the season when it really counts. So Yeah.
No, I agree. And now, I mean, again, Brad actually called it. He didn't get the score right, but he did call that Bournemouth would win it. I was surprised, myself and Doug both went for the Villa win, but well done to Bournemouth. I'm not convinced they're going to stay up. They're everybody's favourite to go down. Scott Parker hasn't got a good record in the division. Nothing against him, per se. And I'd love Bournemouth to stay up because, like I say, they're 10 minutes down the road. So, to me, it's like in a home game when we play them. Unfortunately, I've got Bournemouth and Southampton in my bottom three, so I'm not going to see any games next season. You know, we say well done to Bournemouth.
Yeah, and again, like, it's so hard this first week because, as a fan, you want your team to win, always. But you've got to, like, it's like the one time where you can guarantee there's going to be shocks. And those two matches are the shocks, aren't they? You know, you would have expected Villa probably to beat Bournemouth, and you definitely would have expected Liverpool to beat Fulham. But that's not how it always works. And football does that to us anyway. But like I say, pre-season, you know, has it gone, you know, your star players, you need to have them to have a good pre-season and, you know, to hopefully you've won some games and you go into that first game with, you know, but like I say, that bounce, and that's, I think, what's happened for Fulham. I don't think they're in my three to go down, so I would... you know, not put too much stock on the fact that they've won this weekend.
No. I mean, we struggled last season picking these results out. None of us went for Leeds to beat Wolves.
See, I probably would have done because I think Leeds still have a good setup there that gives the players the chance to succeed. So I probably would have gone to Leeds. I would expect that game to be a tight match at any time in the season. But again, it throws funny things up the first few games. And teams need to settle and they need to kind of get into their rhythm. If actually playing games, because they obviously don't during the pre-season, obviously they do, but they're not the same. It's not, you know, friendly at Notts County, for example, for City, is not the same as playing against, you know, Arsenal next week in the Premier League. So,
it just
takes a bit of time.
Yes. But, I mean, I've got Leeds to finish 20th. Unfortunately, I just don't think Jesse March... I think they were very lucky that they stayed up last season. And I just can't see him being the man to take them forward. It was a weird decision when they took him on, to be totally honest with you. But
I mean,
they
obviously see something in him that the rest of us don't. I mean, I don't know anything about the guy at all, so I don't want to write him off just because, you know, he's American. But as far as I know, he hasn't got a lot of first team experience as manager, so that would be a problem. And, you know, the Premier League is an incredibly hard place to learn your trade. So, I would be maybe a little bit worried for that. But I think there's worse teams in the division than Leeds.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't be actually basing my thoughts on Leeds on a American TV or a British TV show, Ted Lasso. But I can see that happening. Well done to Leeds. Well done to Leeds. Newcastle, we love you. We love you so much, Newcastle. 2-0 over Forest. Well done. I mean, I got 3 points for the whole thing, and I didn't get any for that, but I don't care. I was just pleased to see that result. I think Newcastle are going to have a good season this season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot better than the last one because obviously I think they're going to start from a better place. And again, you know, spent lots of money. The atmosphere up there is obviously a lot better. And, you know, I do love Newcastle for beating Forest. I don't love them for wanting Madison. So it's a double-edged sword there. But, yeah, again, I think you know, it's already been kind of said about Newcastle, the fan base up there deserves a good football team that's going to at least, you know, compete to win games. And that's what they had at the end of the last season, which is why they won all those games at the end to get them out of the trouble that they were in. So in theory, you know, they should be starting from, like I say, a better place and finish higher than they did last time.
Yeah. Well, Tottenham. I mean, let's talk Tottenham. We've talked Arsenal. Let's talk Tottenham. Mm-hmm. I mean, Arsenal, Friday night, they were top of the league.
Mm-hmm.
They will then, they will no doubt be bringing out a best of season DVD on tomorrow morning. Tottenham now have gone top. They've knocked Arsenal off, and I believe Tottenham will be bringing out a best of season review as well, because they're top of the table. They demolished Southampton. Again, Southampton is my third team to go down this season. As I said earlier, I just can't see them doing it. They just capitulated.
Yeah. Again, it's always difficult talking about Southampton because obviously they are always one of those teams that kind of are there for a hiding. And I always say it, you know, eventually it's going to bite them in the ass. You know, the fact that they have a great academy there, but they just sell the players that come through that academy. They don't keep any of them.
Yeah.
And that's the hard bit. You know, that's what Leicester are finding. It's all right getting these players on your books, but it's keeping them. Mm. And I think Southampton, you know, little club in terms of the Premier League. I think, so again, it's so hard because I think there is worse teams in the division than them, but you can't keep putting that spurt on at the end to get out of trouble.
No.
And, you know, again, I feel like they're in the league because there's always worse teams than them.
Yeah.
Not because they're particularly strong.
They started off last season quite well. I thought that, whoa, maybe this is the season we're going to see something happen. Ruth Hassenthal is a good manager. But then they kind of had that end of season drop off. And it's kind of carried on over, very much like Leicester under Peter Taylor. You know, we started off really well, top of the league for a couple of weeks. Then it all went wrong. And then the following season, it just carried on. And I just wonder whether Southampton are going to be in that position. But Tottenham Hotspur, they've got a great manager. I think they've got a manager now that will stand up to Daniel Levy, because I think they needed him more than he needed them.
Without a doubt.
I think he can demand what he wants. And I think I've got them as third in the season. And I think they're going to have a very good season.
Yeah, I think the thing with Tottenham, again, is a manager can take you far, but they can only take you so far. It just takes Kane or Son to get injured, and then they're screwed. And that's the thing that would worry me. We know what injuries can do to a squad, and it just those two, one or the other, and they're going to be struggling to then get in that top four. They're not going to go down or anything, and they're not probably finishing in, you know, the European places regardless, but if you're, you know, you want those two have to stay fit. They have to stay fit, and Kane has to score goals right from the start of the season. Like, he can't be going into months without having scored goals. So that's the thing for me. Conte will get the best out of that squad for 100%, and he's very tactically aware. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's managed obviously some huge sides and had a lot of success, so
Turf Dan, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Kate and the kids all in one car. You have a pity. You have my sympathy, sorry. Driving up from Watford. Weekend in London for your son's birthday. I hope you had a good time. I hope you all enjoyed it. And you were a ginger, so I hope you kept in the shade there, Dan. You look, Monge, to you lovely pair, en route home, kids are blagging, but you're giving me a football fix, all is now well with the world. Like I say, we are going to be discussing Burnley in the Championship after the Premier League. We're just going to touch into the Championship and the relegated teams and how they're doing. I said I'll try and stay, but bats on the way out, sorry. I was sure to come on and watch it. it back to abuse. Don't call Kate a bat. That's not very nice. You know, it really isn't. The next game, Everton-Chelsea. Everton, I think, surprised a lot of people with this performance because I watched this game and I was really impressed with them.
Yeah, I think Everton probably did. And it was just one stupid thing at the end, which just cost them, you know, a point. And that would have been a great result for them against Chelsea. I think we need to kind of... Everton, again, they're really hard to predict because they're either going to be same as last season and be really poor, or they're going to play to the potential that that side has and be, you know, top half. So, again, really difficult to predict, but I hope that, again, for the Everton fans, you know, they do live in the shadow of, obviously, of Liverpool up there and just have a good season. And they need it because they're going into, you know, that new stadium soon. That needs to be a Premier League stadium. That cannot afford to be a Championship stadium because the amount of money that obviously has gone into it. And, you know, you go down and it's just so hard to come straight back up again. And, you know, we say this about Fulham. No, they do, you know, they are yo-yo, but that's not easy in itself to be yo-yo. To, you know, to do well in the Championship is not easy. And Everton would find it hard because they'd have to sell a lot of places to cover, you know, the stadium. But again, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Everton will go down. I think if that was going to happen, it would have been last season. But
St. Thomas, welcome along. He said Everton showed some fight. They did. Like I say, it's going to be interesting because they showed that fight at home last season. What they didn't show, because they only won twice away, unfortunately one of those was at Leicester, and they only won twice away all season. So that would be the real test for them. They've got some good signings. Tarkowski is the best. I mean, I think he just looked really, really good. Scott says there, good evening, Scott. Welcome along. Thanks for joining us. Everton at the end of last season showed grit in most performances, albeit poor end product. This season, I see them being more of the same. If they produce that form that they did against Chelsea, I honestly believe there'll be a lot of clubs that won't fancy playing them this season.
Yeah, you know, I agree, Chris. I think, like I say, it can go either way with Everton. It's either going to be they all start performing, you know, the manager gets them playing. I think Trotsky will be, obviously, hopefully shore up that defence because it was very, very shaky last season, especially away from home. And, you know, it's just doing the right things at the right time and cutting out silly mistakes, tracking your players. And they didn't do that against Chelsea because the goal was an Everton mistake. Overall, do I think Chelsea deserve to win the game? Yeah, from what I saw, probably just. But, you know, again, Everton's season isn't going to be defined by what they do against Chelsea and, you know, those top teams. It's going to be the teams that end up around them that they need to get points from.
Indeed, indeed. I'd like to avoid it, but I know we can't. Leicester against Brentford.
Oh no.
St. Thomas Beckett said Rodgers bottled it. I mean, 2-0 up. I did a watch along for that. I know you were at work, but for that first 50 minutes, you know, we went 1-0 up towards the end of the first half. We scored within 20, you know, well, within 2 minutes, I think, coming on in the second half, which was a great time to score. And I thought this is the Leicester, as I said, we had a chat before we came live. I said this is the Leicester that was like the two European season. And Thomas Beckett just said Dele Alli is a mystery to me. I think he's a mystery to Frank Lampard, to be honest with you. going back to Leicester, it was like we were all over them. You know, it couldn't have been an easier, you know, start for Danny Ward in the goal. But then second half, after we scored, it was again the Leicester from last season. And I'm not going to put any blame on Danny Ward, because I don't think Schmeichel would have saved either of those goals, mm-hmm. in my opinion. A lot of people are blaming Amati. But as football fans, we all seem to have these very short memories. He was probably our most consistent defender last season and, you know, stepped up when we needed him. And for some reason, Rodgers played him on the left, which is not his normal position. He was obviously filling in for Soyuncu. I don't know why he wasn't picked. And then managers make a substitution. And problem is for me, if it comes off, the manager suddenly then looks like he's the tactical genius. If it doesn't come off, he looks like a muppet. Well, you could say Brendan Rodgers, maybe he should, you know, change his name to Kermit, you know, because that was a horrendous substitution. Hot day, 5 substitutes allowed, 1 made. He said he did that to combat what Brentford were doing. Well, Brentford made 5 subs. You're never going to combat that with 1. We're not going to have another one of those seasons, are we?
Well, again, let's put this into perspective. It's the first game of the season.
Yeah.
You know, the things have changed to how he probably thought this game was going to start. You know, obviously, no Barnes, Pereira. I don't think Pereira probably would have got in the squad anyway. But definitely Barnes, you know, he's a big attacking force. We scored 2 goals. Yes, okay, we let 2 in. It's bad management. And, you know, you can blame Rodgers for the substitutions or the non-substitutions in this case. But if he had brought 5 players on and would still got the draw or lost the game, he would then have been an idiot for making those substitutions. So he can't win either way.
Managers can't.
Now, he did what he thought was right, obviously, at that moment in time, and that's all he can do. My thing is, where he's not helped himself, is he's come out in the post-match interview and he said the players look tired. Well, if they look tired, why weren't you making substitutions?
Exactly.
You've got a bench, like you say, you've got 4 more subs there. Why were you not making substitutions if they look tired? You know, and that's okay for them to look tired. It's the first game of the season. You know, match fitness is not necessarily going to be there. And yes, you can't take them all off, but you could have made 4 more substitutions. So why didn't you? You know, he's not helping himself when it comes out and says that.
Not at all. And he sometimes does this, doesn't he? He opens his mouth before he's put his brain into gear. I didn't get it at all. I really didn't. But Daka and Vardy, very, very quiet. But then again, they weren't really getting the service, were they?
Again, from what I've seen, because I didn't watch much because of work. But
of course, sorry.
Again, it's really difficult because, again, it's the first game of the season. I don't want to be too harsh. And, you know, obviously, we've not got an easy game next week. They'll need to be better by a long, long way. And I just don't, you know, if we do lose, I just don't want it to be an embarrassment against Arsenal. But
no, I think
it's too early to be saying, you know, anything about any of the players yet. We've had 1 game. Okay, it wasn't the most startling game. But in that first half, we played really well. So let's see the positives. You know, if this was the other way around, if we were 2-0 down at half-time and then got back to a draw, we would be talking very differently about it.
Because we've
lost that lead.
Yeah.
You know, the way around that it is, because we've lost the lead, it's a problem.
Yeah. If Daka would come down, on and score,
you know, just after half-time.
Yeah, if Daka would come on and scored, he would have been a tactical genius. Of course he would.
That's the margins, isn't it? And that's why they get paid a lot of money to manage, because
it is.
That's what they have to deal with.
They stand,
By the team they pay and the subs they make.
Yeah, indeed. And for me, we've got Arsenal on Saturday. If we play the way that we played for that first 50 minutes, I think we can give them a game. I really do. If we play like we played in the last, then I don't think we will. Just to say that. I think Amati, I liked Amati. He got my most improved player of the season last year because he'd come from being absolutely derided by all the fans, and he was our most consistent defender, which wasn't hard last season, let's be honest with you. But he did a job for us when he was in. Ward, yeah. Schmeichel's gone. I write for the BBC, and my post tomorrow, I don't do sort of write about the matches. I write about it has been anything but the matches. Every Tuesday talking point on the BBC website on the Leicester City page. And my story is the king is dead, long live the king, so to speak. I don't think we need to go out and buy anybody. Danny Ward was coming for crosses a lot more than I saw Schmeichel was at the back end of last season. Obviously, the defence has changed, but I think it will be a different team that starts against Arsenal. Maybe one or two. He always likes a goal against Arsenal, does Jamie Vardy, and the big six team will always give him that space at the back as well that the other clubs don't.
What Arsenal aren't going to do, especially at home, is sit and park the bus. They're going to want to go and score goals and get their fans a good time. So that should, in theory, like say, leave extra space for Vardy and Daka if he does come on or whatever. Obviously, we've not got Barnes, but I think that the thing is like in that position. That's where you want Barnes. When Vardy's getting space, that's where you want Barnes to be that link. Yes. So I think they probably will miss him a little bit next week. I think they probably did this week. You know, he's become a bit of an influential player when he's fit for Leicester. Just because he takes people on. Very much like a Madison type attacker where he's not afraid to take people on. He'll go down that wing. He'll do what he does with it. I think they probably are missing Barnes a little bit in that respect, but scored two goals. So, you know, the scoring goals wasn't the problem in this game, was it? It was keeping them out.
Yeah.
It was the problem. You know, you score two goals at home, you should really be winning the game.
Exactly. Having said that, we can all remember those opening day games against Hull City and Bolton Wanderers, can't we? I mean, this is it. You see, to me, when I look at, if I go back 12 months, we played Wolves on the opening day and we won 1-0. We didn't deserve that. If Wolves had got their shooting boots on that day, I think they would have beaten us 3 or 4-1. So this performance was a lot better and it is encouraging. And Scott, I get what you're saying there, but I don't fear this weekend if we play like we play in the first half. You know, that's the thing. Riley says Rodgers bottled it and so was Ten Hag. I mean, how do you justify saying that these managers bottled it? I don't, you know, it's like, you know, when people said that Leicester bottled, you know, the top four. We didn't bottle the top four. We did bloody well to end up in fifth. You know what I mean? For me. But no, I don't think we bottled it at all, if I'm honest with you. Rodgers made a mistake. He made the wrong substitution.
But he only made the wrong substitutions because they didn't come on. I've seen it a lot. Oh, you know, he cost us the game. Okay, so what would you have done then?
Exactly.
The squad he had, place he had, what would you have done? Because that's what people don't say. They stand there and say, oh, he made this, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Well, what would you have done then? Given the squad that he has, and, you know, I've put that to the viewers tonight, what would you have done? And there's no way we will ever know whether what you would have done would have paid off.
No. Let's hear what you would have done. Scott says there, I will admit it, I had to eat humble pie as I didn't want Tielemans to start on last season's performances alone, but he did well yesterday. He did because he was playing his more normal role. Last season, because of our injuries, he was having to play a more defensive role, and that's not him, you know. And had he been, I keep saying this, had he played that role in the FA Cup final, he wouldn't have got that goal because he wouldn't have been in that position. I take what you say, Scott, eating humble pie. He did have a good game. He hit the post. And that's the thing you can see when he hit the post, his face. You know, this isn't a player like, let's say, Mahrez, when he wanted to leave, that went and sat on, you know, the airport lounge at Paris Charles de Gaulle. You know, he didn't go on strike. He didn't do what Kanté did, which was walk out as quickly as he could do. But so, yeah, fair play. I think he's going to give it his all. Terry says Arsenal are going to try and batter us in the first 15 minutes. It's their style. Scott, the difference is, Chris, the difference in goalkeeper we face this weekend. We won't get them kind of opportunities with the defence in front of them.
But they're going to be going forward more. Arsenal at home are going forward more than Brentford at Leicester. 1,000%. Yes. So that leaves space behind.
Which Vardy will exploit, hopefully.
Vardy, who can exploit that. So to me, yes, this isn't going to be an easy game, and I will be ecstatic if we come home with any points. And yeah. I'm not saying we're going to go there and batter them or anything, but to say that we have no chance, I think, is unfair. I think Leicester, on the day, playing the best they can, you know, can beat anybody.
Yeah.
If we come away with a point, we'll all be happy. You know, it'll be the first point of the season. It'll be a great away result. That's fine, but don't write Leicester off before they've even picked a ball. That's
no. The other thing that just before we move on from Leicester, I don't think he did himself any favour saying, well, that might not have happened if we'd had Luckman in the team, because you're saying, well, why didn't we buy him then? You know,
and the Luckman one for me was a strange one because he seemed to really like him. Like, he played it. I mean, I know we had injuries last season, but he played him a fair bit. Like, he got a lot of stars, and I thought he did fairly well. The fans seemed to think.
Yeah, fans loved him.
Yeah, that he was good enough to stay. So, yeah, for me personally, I would have kept him and maybe got rid of Pratt, because I don't think Pratt's as good as it, or is going to get as much game time as what Luckman would have done.
No, he's come out and said he wants to stay now, doesn't he, and fight for his position. Maybe that's with maybe Tielemans leaving. He's got that in mind.
Tielemans isn't going anywhere. Tielemans is not going anywhere.
No, well, fingers crossed.
No, he'd be done by now if he was going.
Yeah. But I mean, if he's they will have known that this RB Leipzig is that they've got him that were in for him, right? So they would have known. And if we were really, I'm sure 15 million, we could have found that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Fulham, you know, they offered us, was it 11 for Vestergaard, and we turned it down. Wow, take that 11 and let's go and get, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's things obviously we don't know that are happening. Terry says he blames the Clappers, bring back the Clappers. To be honest with you, I love the Clappers. I absolutely think they do really help the atmosphere. I didn't know, well, I wasn't at the game, and I didn't have the sound on, so I'm not allowed to when I'm doing a watch along. But, you know, we've had, what, 5-6 seasons now with the Clappers. A lot of fans don't like them, so let's have a season without them. You know, it's I miss them. But then again, I'm not going to the matches, so I can't really say. Somebody said earlier, St. Thomas said, performance of the day, Brighton and Hove Albion, performance of the weekend. Well done, Brighton.
Can't argue too much with it. Can't argue too much with that at all. I think the only thing that goes against that is, how much is it Man United being bad and how much is it them being good, you know? That's my only thing about it. I just think, like, now is the time to play. This season is the best season we're going to have in a long time to play United. Because I think eventually they are going to get this sorted out, and they are going to get, you know, a decent squad, and they are going to sort themselves out, because they're going to have to. Because the Glazers want Man United because it makes money. Man United is only going to make money if they're successful on the pitch. So eventually, it's going to be like, well, we need to reinvest in this to make money, you know? So I think eventually it's going to get better there. Not sure how long that's going to take, but I think it will get better. And so, you know, now we are or these seasons, odd seasons, where, you know, try and get your wins against them, because when that money is invested again, it won't be so easy.
No, no, you're quite right. And he will get it right. I think he, like Conte at Tottenham, is the right manager now. He will go anywhere, you know, he will do what he wants to do. I mean, he has brought back the Wally and the Brolly, but having said that, Steve McLaren did well when he was assistant manager under Fergie, you know. I mean, Fergie went through a few assistant managers. He liked to change it to sort of, you know, mix it up a little bit. But like you say, this will be a good season. They need to give him time.
I think being an assistant manager to Fergie is very different to being an assistant manager to anyone else, because Fergie wants charge over everything.
Yeah.
I don't think you're making the same decisions as a, you know, an assistant coach to Fergie as, say, Mourinho or someone like that. Mm. And I think he's very much wants the control. And you know what? Can't kind of argue that United did the right thing by giving it to him, because the trophies cabinet kind of says otherwise, doesn't it?
Indeed, indeed. Rico says United are a mess. Ten Hag has an impossible job. I think if he's given time, and I think the Glazers would give him time, because, like you say, they can maybe see the long term. Because the businessmen, at the end of the day, whatever you say about them, they're businessmen. They make a lot of money, etc. But you're right there. you're back. So they're not stupid. The problem is I honestly think they are trying to please the fans too much. You know, you've got to ask the question, last season, if they stayed as with Solskjaer, would they have done better? Because the last two seasons he got them into, you know, the second place one season and fourth place at our expense the other season. We will never know.
That's the thing. Like, you can talk about it till the cows come home, but you're just never going to know what would have happened. I mean, on what he actually achieved at United, it was probably a little harsh to lose his job. But I've said it before, I don't think he should ever have got the job. And if he'd had no connection to United as a player, he never would have got the job.
I think he got the job too soon, because he came in after Mourinho, got the dressing room back in place, went on an amazing winning run, still on the temporary contract. And before the contract had expired, they gave him a full contract. And then it started to go wrong. Or if they'd waited till the temporary contract, they might have seen that. But, you know, like I said, I think if the crowd get onto Ten Hag's back, then hopefully the board will stick by him and ignore the crowd. But as I say, a lot of the time, I do think, you know, they try and please the fans to try and earn brownie points, if you like.
They're a very, very vocal bunch. So it doesn't surprise me that it gets through.
Scott says Potter's magic wand again, Chris's favourite manager. If he starts doing the business, then I'll give him, I mean, I gave him the credit last season. I had some humble pie as well, Scott, because I think he did well at the start of the season. But also, I think it was March time, he was bottom of the form table. So he's yet to sort of do it on math. Last game, West Ham United, Manchester City. I went for a draw. Brad actually went for a West Ham win. In fairness, Doug went for the 2-1 Man City win, so he was the closest. It's normal service resumed. And after I said Haaland didn't look much good in the Charity Shield, he went and scored two goals.
The sign of a good player is scoring when it matters most, and in the Premier League is way more important than winning the Charity Shield, obviously, for Man City. So, but, you know, he's only scored two. Yes, he's had a great start, but things can still go very wrong. You cannot count his chickens, is what I'm saying. He's obviously a good player. It's why they've brought him in the first place, and what he's done elsewhere, is amazing. He's got the pedigree. It's whether his head stays on his shoulders, which, again, I've got no reason to think, you know, that's not going to happen. But then when he's doing a tour of Europe, trying to get the most money he can for his signature, maybe he's not the most loyal. You know, it'd only take maybe, Real Madrid, if he has a couple of good seasons here in the Premier League, you know, Real Madrid or Barca or Bayern, and he'll be gone. So, my thing to the Man City fans would be enjoy it while you can, because I don't know he'll be here that long, especially if they don't win the Champions League.
The thing is with what was I going to say then? Barcelona is, if you sign for Barcelona, you don't know whether you're going to actually get to play a game or not, do you?
No.
How are they doing that? God only knows, you know. And somebody said to me about Leicester, and I said, you know what, do you remember Leeds? They gambled everything on getting after, you know, they did have a great season, and they took that gamble that they're going to have another great season the following season, and they'd get in the Champions League again, and they didn't. And that's when their trouble started. Would I sooner have a team, my team, Leicester, make no signings because of financial fair play, because of squad size, etc., and finish maybe 10th or 11th, you know? Or would I sooner them gamble it all? No, I'd sooner them end up, you know, being sensible and mid-table and still have a team to support.
Yeah, there is that. And also, I don't. Leicester aren't in financial trouble. Because if they were, they would have took that 11 million for Vestergaard and, you know, took it to pay off debts if they had them. They haven't. Yeah. I don't think money is as overflowing as maybe we'd hope it to be, because KP is a duty-free company. No one's travelled for the last 2 years. So it's bound to have had effect on what money is available. But I don't think there's problems. I don't think, you know, we're struggling to, like, you know, pay wages or anything like that, are we?
No.
And there's assets there. You know, what they've done with the training ground has obviously took a lot of money as well. Talk about stadium expansion, which would cost a lot because of what they're planning on doing on the outside of the stadium, the reconstruction of the roads and the hotels and everything that's going to go there. So I'm not worried about money for Leicester. And, you know, again, it was really weird because when we were buying Bertrand and Vestergaard, people were saying, oh, what are they buying them for? Well, now we're not buying anyone. They're saying, well, why aren't we buying anybody?
Yes, yeah.
So fans are just very, very fickle and very, very, almost looking for trouble all the time. Put out fires.
I always say, you look up football fan in the dictionary and it says fickle next to it, you know. But we totally 100%. I think we all are. But again, they know how to run a business. You know, and if we have to take a couple of years of, you know, not
in the books.
Exactly, yeah, then let's do that and in a couple of years still be in the Premier League. So that is very true. So that's all the Premier League games. Terry saying Vestergaard did not accept the personal terms.
Ah, okay.
Well, you know, we know that this is why we can't get rid of the likes of Chowdhury and such like, because they're on such good wages. Well, look, I say, we're going to have a very, very, very quick look at the Championship straight after this. It gave me a chance to put my light on because it's getting a little bit dark outside. The sun is shining, as this, believe it or not, but we're also hearing thunder, so God knows what's going to happen. Just looking, Lou, at the sort of the four teams very, very quickly, the three teams that have gone down, and it's interesting to see how they're doing. Burnley, I mean, they've just got a completely new team because I think they've sold every single one of the team that was there before. Cornet's the latest one to go. But, I mean, they've won one, drawn one. They've got a great manager, haven't they?
Yeah, and that's something that I think, again, it's really difficult because as a supporter of a Premier League club, we almost kind of forget that there's leagues below us.
Yeah,
you know, kind of forget. Like, I don't watch Championship football very often because I just kind of forget that it's on, and I shouldn't do that because actually, it's not so long ago we were there ourselves, And B, you know, there's some good teams in there, and this, the competition is good. That's what I like about the Championship. You know, yeah, it's a really tough league to get out of. There's obviously more games in the season. And yeah, there's some good teams in there that really challenge each other. So yeah, it's not easy to get back up straight away. You know, not many teams do that. Apart from Fulham.
And Watford. I mean, Burnley, I mean, Dan, as you know, is a big friend of the channel, Dan, the Burnley fan. He doesn't want to come straight back up if it means that, you know, the team get a bit of a, you know, stability and bed in and then come back stronger. Bit like, I suppose, Leicester, you know, would we have done as well and stayed up if we'd come up after the Watford semi-final defeat? Yeah. Who knows? Like you say, it's all speculation. But they're sat in third. I mean, there's only two games gone. Watford sat in sixth, same number of points, 1-1 drawn. Oh, can I just say well done to Luton, because they did get the draw at Burnley. I like Luton. And Scott, I'll bring that up in a minute. So I do like Luton. Thanks for sort of looking after KDH for us. Thanks for letting us have James Justin. I would have loved to have seen them come up through the playoffs, because I say I like teams to come up and give it a go that haven't been up before. I think
for teams like Luton, again, you kind of almost forget that they're just one, you know, one league below. Do you know what I mean? Like, that seems crazy that Luton are only one team, like one league below the Premier League. But again, they're on merit. Any team that's in the Championship or even in the Premier League, they're there on merit, and they're by winning games. And you know, I don't know the situation with Luton, but it's obviously, you know, there's good foundations there to be able to come through the leagues like they have. Yes. So yeah, it's just that one step. And
not so long ago, they were in the conference, weren't they? Yeah. Or whatever it is called now. I've got to say, this is the comment of the evening. If I had a prize to give out for the best comment, Scott, you'd get it for this. He said, Derby did well to get out of the Championship. Definitely a... there. I do like that, Scott. I've got to give you that one. Then we're looking at, to say, and then hang on, what's happened here? We've gone, yeah, Burnley in fourth place. Where are I don't know that the table has just changed. Are they having a game played tonight or something in the Championship? I think Watford must have, because they've now played two. Watford up to second. Oh, God, they're coming back. They're coming back. It's like one of those big, bad movies, you know. Watford, the return. just when you thought it was safe to go to a football match, Watford are back.
Long way to go in that division, long way.
There is indeed. Burnley just dropping down to fourth, but they've yet two wins out of two for Watford. That's all they can do. Norwich, I'm looking down, one place above the relegation zone. I thought they would be doing better of the three of them, to be honest with you, but and again, it's only two games, drawn one, lost one. Maybe Dean Smith won't be there too long. Who knows? The surprise, I'm going to be honest with you, is Huddersfield. And again, let's say it's early days, but for the point of discussion, played two, lost two, bottom of the league.
Not looking good, and not the best of starts to what, like I say, is a very difficult division. And you can get cut off at the bottom there. You know, many teams have done it where they've had that bad start and just not been able to recover from it.
Yes.
I hope that's not Huddersfield, because I don't mind Huddersfield. You know, I'm not going ill will against Huddersfield. So hopefully things will get better for them and their fans. And it is very, very early days. There's no need to panic yet.
No. Look at Arsenal. You know, last season, three games, pointless, and then they finished fifth. So, yeah, it is early days. But I just think, you know, when you've had, you know, look, I just say, you know, when we played Watford and we went out the way we did, and, You could say Huddersfield went out a controversial way because VAR was really bad that day and the referee was pretty awful. I think he'd put his feet up before, and retired before the match kicked off. But, you know, after that Watford game, we took that and Pearson got us up and going straight away from the kickoff into the next game. Yeah. So, but I hope Huddersfield do well. And I know Anthony's not watching, but he's an Arsenal fan, but he's also a Bristol City fan. Why do these fans of these teams like Bristol City, like Bournemouth, oh, we support a Premier League team as well?
To be fair, again, I think as Leicester fans, we've had it a lot better than a lot of fans, and that sounds silly, but when I think a lot of my life, like, we were in the Premier League, like, under O'Neill, we had a lot of seasons in the Premier League. You know, we weren't winning it or anything, but we were there, and we forget that actually not all teams are that lucky. You know, like you say, Luton, for example, never been in the Premier League. So as a Luton fan, you never think that's going to happen for yourself, especially when you're sitting there in the conference. You know, you're not thinking Premier League, are you?
I came down here 15 years ago, something like that, and it was before the Watford game, and I could not go and watch Bournemouth because it was another league team. To me, it was like having an affair, if you like. Do you know what I mean? Like, Leicester are my team. I can't support them. And I did go, and I did follow, and I still followed to a point, and I ended up working there for a season, but then Leicester started getting good, and I wanted to follow them again, if you like, from down here. And Paul Town, you know, they've non-league team. You know, they're never going to be in the Premier League, bless their little cotton socks. But I couldn't just do another league club. I'm sorry, you know, but hey, each to their own. Lou, thank you very much indeed.
Welcome. For coming on.
Glad you're feeling a lot better than you were. That's the main thing. We will see you in a week's time. And coming up mid-September, we are doing exactly the same after the Premier League show with the Women's Super League.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so
looking forward to it. Like I said, there's a lot of England players, especially obviously, going to be coming off a big high. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with a lot of them and how they perform back on the ground, you know, probably not playing in front of 80,000 people this time.
No, definitely.
So, yeah, we'll see how that works.
And, of course, we'll be welcoming Maisie to the show as well. And what I hope to do just before that is probably have a preview show when we look at it and ahead and see what we think is going to happen. Luke, take care of yourself. Thank you very much. Say commiserations to the mother-in-law for losing again at Everton, but she must be used to it by now. Did I say that out loud? Oops. Don't say that to her. Sorry, Chris, if you're still watching. Thanks very much. I'll see you next week, Lou. All the best.
Thank you. I'll see you next week. Bye.
See you next week. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks to Lou there. Great knowledge of the game. Terry says, my second team is Bayern. Used to live 5 minutes from the old Olympic Stadium, but I'm not a fan per se, just a team that passed the Saturday to do something. I was like that when I with Paul Town when I came down here. I didn't know anybody. I did actually end up coaching because my girls were into football, and I ended up coaching one of the girls' teams. But then the girls didn't want to carry on, so obviously I didn't want to carry on teaching the girls' team with my own girls weren't in there. Doesn't look well, does it? But I look out for them now, and I look out because. As a football fan, I have gone and watched. I left Leicester, I went to Blackpool, Blackburn, Burnley, Bolton, Bury, before coming down to Poole. And I always look, I say, I never supported them, but I do get what you mean. You know, it's a Saturday afternoon, you go down, you get talking to somebody you've never seen before, having a pint in the concourse, and it's great. It is, but I do always keep a lookout for them, I've got to be honest with you. Scott says there, Scott. Guys, please hit the like button. And if you enjoy what you see, please subscribe to this channel. Lots of different content on this channel, not all football related, some dad, granddad jokes included. Scott, you little naughty boy. What can I say to you, Scott? I must have something I can play for you here. All right, thank you all very, very much. Thank you to everybody who was watching. Thank you to everybody that's been in the chat to joining in. Thank you to everybody who's been listening on the podcast when I upload it. And I will see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. It's the prediction show. We are back. Hopefully Steve Linitz will be able to join us on this one. He couldn't last week because he was working. Unfortunately, that's the job he does now. It does get him calling out at all hours. So hopefully he'll be back next week because, totally honest with you, Doug was too damn good in his position. Too damn good. Thanks, everybody. Take care. As Scott says, please subscribe if you haven't. Smash the likes if you would. It would mean an awful, awful lot. And I will see you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Stay safe. And remember, whatever you do, don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy. Good night now.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Watching these videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
Cool, I'm out of here. Ooh, that's a wrap.
Some people are on the pitch, they think it's all over.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping. And you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.